You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
The Democrats kick off the national convention in Charlotte, North Carolina today under very different circumstances than when they last met 4 years ago in Denver to nominate Barack Obama. Joining us now is WNYC's Anna Sale, who's down in Charlotte. Anna, welcome back to our show.
Thanks, Leonard.
Are you hearing that there's less excitement this time than there was 4 years ago in Denver?
Nobody is saying that out loud when you talk to delegates and supporters of the president who are here in Charlotte, but you can feel it a little bit, and you can see it in some of the slogans that are showing up on pins and signs. You do have, you know, sort of Obama y'all, basically Southern Democrats and Estamos Unidos, old pins from 2008, Latinos for Obama, but you also see things like I Still Believe, which doesn't seem sort of resoundingly enthusiastic. It sounds sort of like a defensive endorsement of the president. And things like, I've got your back. So this sense that the president needs his supporters to be there and stand up, as opposed to this sort of, you know, transcendent sense of enthusiasm that you had 4 years ago.
Nobody's brought their hope or change banners back, I assume. The official Obama campaign slogan this year is forward, which seems a little more ambiguous than change we can believe in.
Yes, forward, just the one word. So the president also has said that he deserves an incomplete in terms of his grade on the economy. So that, I think, is one of the themes you'll hear from the president and the Obama campaign, that while they've done work, they know they have more work to do. And so that's going to be the case they're making, that they are the better candidate to lead the next 4 years, but they know there's more work to do.
Is the fact that he has to defend his record reflected in the party platform?
The party platform is pretty much aligned with President Obama's positions. It's very much focused on the middle class. That word showed up again and again and again. It has his same tax policy, the idea of extending tax cuts for people making less than $250,000, not extending them for those who make over that. So, and also on social issues, you know, again, reaffirming that Roe v. Wade should be the law of the land, endorsing the idea that government, neither federal nor state government, should stand in the way of marriages for same-sex couples. So that's pretty much aligned with where the president is.
But it's also a way of making a clear distinction with the GOP platform.
It is. I mean, the GOP platform was voted on early on in the convention and then never really was mentioned again from the dais. So certainly the platform is more aligned and is going to be a more prominent sort of policy-wise here at the Democratic Convention than we saw with the Republicans.
Well, the Democratic Party is a fairly large coalition of groups that don't always get along. Is there a sense of unity and faith in Barack Obama among many of the delegates, or are you detecting some disappointment with the president?
It's different than the Republican convention. There is where I feel like you could sense that there was, you know, some unity questions with the Ron Paul delegates there, and also, you know, people having to kind of be pulled along to get behind Mitt Romney. That was sort of, I think, what we saw over the course of the Republican convention. People who'd been reluctant kind of getting on board with Mitt Romney, even Republican activists. Here, I think it's much more that the delegates are sort of, these are the true believers. These are the Obama supporters. So they are glad to be here. They are ready to fight for the reelection of the president. The question is whether they can kind of carry that out once they leave this convention hall in Charlotte and make the case for voters who need persuading.
So Blue Dog Democrats are underrepresented. A number of them oppose abortion rights and same-sex marriage. Did that even come up during the platform, when the platform was being written?
I don't know the specifics of what the interparty kind of conversations were, but talking to delegates from the South, there is, you know, a resounding endorsement of the president. I talked to a North Carolina delegate here from Charlotte the president is actually behind in the polls here in North Carolina, a state that he won 4 years ago. And, you know, she's certainly making the case that they've got to run at it, even though President Obama just narrowly won North Carolina in 2008. She thinks they're in a good position, but, you know, that's what the party activists are saying. They're saying that the Democratic Party is going to be able to do the same kind of turnout that they did 4 years ago, and they've got a shot at winning southern states like Virginia and North Carolina again.
Well, during his acceptance speech, Paul Ryan brought up 20-somethings living with their parents because of the weak economy. And the sense is that younger voters are less excited, although the president did do a lot of touring of colleges last week.
Yeah, I think, I mean, just looking at the crowd, that comparing the DNC to the RNC, the crowd is markedly younger. There are younger delegates here than there were at the Republican convention. So demographically, more young people are represented here. Whether that's going to translate into the same kind of zeal among, you know, the 18 to 25-year-old set when it comes closer to November, that's the question. And so I think that's going to be, you know, one of the key arguments that the Obama campaign makes. They're going to point to things like student loans. They're going to point to things to acknowledge that it's a difficult economy for young people, that they're coming out of college and not only aren't able to find work, but then have these massive debts they have to pay out. So they're going to be making their pitch to young people, you know, but certainly just kind of looking at the protesters who showed up over the weekend, you know, there are people who have who are more aligned with the Democrats than the Republicans, but who are ready to criticize. Look at the Occupy protesters who are here. You know, they're not lining up behind President Obama.
So the protesters are mostly from the left.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Protesters from the left. And you had kind of an interesting scene where there was a big march on Sunday where both kind of traditional labor activists and Democratic activists marched alongside Occupy protesters. They were protesting the big banks. I mean, Charlotte, of course, is a big banking center. But then yesterday, you sort of saw those that kind of coalition fray, because the Occupy protesters are not here to support President Obama. They're here to critique his policy positions, whereas the labor activists and the Democratic activists are certainly here to push for 4 more years.
But they didn't show up at the Republican National Convention. There were very few protesters, weren't there?
There were very few protesters in Tampa. The Occupy protesters have expressed disappointment at the numbers that turned out. Part of that could have been difficulties, logistics related to the hurricane. Part of it could just be that it's easier to get to Charlotte. But certainly we're seeing more protesters here in Charlotte than you saw show up in Tampa.
I'm talking with WNYC's Anna Sale, who is now, as we can hear, in the convention hall in Charlotte.
That's right.
Over the weekend, the Obama campaign had a disorganized set of answers to the question, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? They now seem to have settled on the answer, absolutely. Why did it take them so long to come up with an answer to a question that everyone saw was coming?
I don't know. I mean, poor Governor Martin O'Malley of Maryland, he just got a little tongue-tied there on Sunday when he was on the Sunday talk shows and first said no and then said, but that's not what the campaign is about. And then the campaign sort of started making the argument that it's not so much about comparing September 2008 to September 2012, but more looking at the direction of the economy, where it was going 4 years ago and where it's going now. So that's how they are now making the argument that we're better off than we were 4 years ago. Remember, it was mid-September 2008 when Lehman Brothers collapsed.
That's going to be a difficult balancing act, trying to say that the economy is getting better while also acknowledging that it's not great for a large number of Americans.
Exactly, and I think that's going to be kind of the interesting rhetorical sort of pivoting that has to happen, because President Obama has to acknowledge that things have been tough over the last 4 years, that it has been rough. And the Republicans certainly made the case that last week that as he does that, he always points to President Bush and doesn't take responsibility, and he's been divisive. And that was sort of Mitt Romney's closing argument, that the president, instead of leading, has divided us. So President Obama has to take the stage and say, I know things have been difficult. This is what we did over the last 4 years, and this is what we plan to do to continue that recovery. And Mitt Romney is not the candidate to do that. He's not to be trusted. Let's stick with this work that we've already started.
A listener has written in to ask why we didn't see much about foreign policy at the RNC and wonders whether the president's international initiatives will come up here. I'm assuming that we will hear the name Osama bin Laden quite a bit, but there'll be no mention of drones.
I think that's probably a safe assumption. I mean, one of Joe Biden's applause lines that he's been using on the stump is Osama bin Laden is dead and General Motors is alive. So I think that is what we will be hearing again and again, reinforcing this idea that President Obama has been tough on foreign policy, but not trying to get too much into details about drone strikes or Guantanamo Bay, for that matter.
Now, the Affordable Care Act remains unpopular, at least according to polls, even though voters seem to like certain provisions of the law. Do you think that's going to come up much during this convention? Have you been seeing signs of it?
Well, what you hear the Obama campaign and the president and his surrogate saying on the stump is they point to things like your kids being able to stay on your health insurance policy till 26 years old, looking at things like pre-existing conditions, and pointing out those popular provisions of the health care law as a way to sort of make the argument that what they passed was good for working Americans. I will be interested to see how they handle the question of the mandate and what's going to happen in 2014, because that's certainly not been something that the Obama campaign has really stressed in articulating why the mandate is important in terms of bringing down health care costs and how what its role will be in the larger American economy. I think you'll hear more about the populist parts of the health care law, like the 26-year-old provision and pre-existing conditions.
The president's announcement that he supported same-sex marriage helped energize the liberal wing of his party, but did it play well in a state like North Carolina? As you pointed out, Mitt Romney is leading the president by 4 points, which is just statistically a tie. But we are talking about a state that has historically gone to the Republicans, even though it didn't in the last election.
That's right. It's going to be interesting to see how prominent that is in terms of applause lines, because I think among this party faithful that's showing up in Charlotte, that's something people will yell and scream and clap for as a proof of the way the Obama administration has advanced the causes of civil rights. They'll point to things like President Obama's endorsement of same-sex marriage, as well as Don't Ask, Don't Tell, repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. North Carolina is a state, of course, that just earlier this year approved a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage. So as far as how that plays outside of the convention center among voters who aren't already Democratic activists, that's a question. But certainly that is a rallying cry for the people who are inside the convention center here in Charlotte.
Voters in swing states are often inundated with political advertising. Not in New York, because I guess it's seen as a foregone conclusion, and also it's a very expensive media market. Are we likely to see any ads in New York?
Are we likely to see any ads in New York? I think that some ran during the Olympics were running nationally. It was one of the ads where President Obama was making his case, kind of speaking directly to the camera. I think you're far more likely, if you travel outside of New York to a state like Pennsylvania or North Carolina or Ohio, to see what the campaigns are really up to. Here in North Carolina, the ad that I've seen over and over again is one featuring President Bill Clinton making the argument that President Obama is better for the middle class, and that Mitt Romney and the Republicans are a return to what he says is deregulation and not looking out for the middle class. So I think that's a theme you're going to hear over and over again. So those ads have been sort of setting up that argument here in Charlotte.
Michelle Obama is tonight's convention headliner. We heard in advance of Ann Romney's speech that she was going to try to humanize her husband. Do we have any idea what Michelle's going to be talking about?
Well, I think that's what you will see. When Michelle Obama makes campaign speeches, you see two things. You see her, you know, talking about Barack, as she calls him, talking about, you know, why he got into this, what he believes, and sort of the personal side of what motivates him as president. But then she always ends her speech with a resounding sort of defense of what he has done and what he views as the interest he wants to protect. One of her lines is always that he's had the back of the American people. He's had the back of working families, and she ends her speech by saying, do you have his back? So again, trying to get people back up and back enthusiastic as they were 4 years ago. So I think we will see a variation on that tonight.
Well, we have a clip of her speaking last month in Milwaukee. Let's take a listen.
Who is going to stand up for me? Who is looking out for my family? Because when it comes time to stand up for the middle class, for working folks, so our kids can go to college and our families can make a decent living, save for retirement, you know my husband has your back. You know what he's going to do.
Well, that's what you were talking about.
She's doing both at once, talking about her husband and then also sort of making this, you know, he has your back. So a fiercely sort of defense from a proud wife, and also reminding people that he's a husband and a father.
Well, she's probably not going to have to defend her lack of patriotism during this election cycle. She was accused of that last one. An Obama campaign spokesman said over the weekend that the entire premise of the Republican National Convention last week was based on a set of lies. But I'm sure fact checkers will have plenty to get into this week as well.
That's right. We've got 4 years of an administration to look into and to not only look at how they talk about what they've done, but what they skip over in terms of what they didn't do or what they did and don't want to talk about now.
Anna Sales, It's a Free Country, is part of WNYC's regular coverage of politics. She's down in Charlotte. Thank you so much for talking with us again.
Sure. Thank you.